This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, as we continue working our way through this letter of 1 John, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 27 this morning. 1 John 2, 18 through 27. But before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn our attention to your word, it's our prayer that you will give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, this past week, before I looked at our passage this morning, I was reflecting on everything we'd be celebrating this morning, how we'd be celebrating Darian's profession of faith and celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And then I opened up and looked at the next verses that we'd be covering in 1 John and was hit with, that Antichrist is coming. Many antichrists have come. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. And the feeling that I was left with was one of intensity. The seriousness of professing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The reality of what we're up against as those who profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. The spiritual warfare that's going on, the battle for the truth. It kind of felt like jumping right into the deep end of Christianity. Instead of wading in from the shallow end, we are plunged head first right into the heat of battle. Welcome to the church. And by the way, the Antichrist is coming, and there are already many Antichrists out there. And that's the warning that John gives us as believers this morning. Not only is this passage a very blunt reality check and a wake-up call, But it's also completely fitting as we celebrate God's work in Darian's life, a public profession of Jesus Christ. It's also fitting as we come to the Lord's table together, being equipped, sustained in our walk with the Lord, strengthened for what lies ahead. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ is the one who is against Christ or anti-Christ. But what's the opposite of denying Christ or being against Christ? Here we see in verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father. So the opposite of denying Christ, being against Christ, being anti-Christ, is confessing Christ, professing your faith in Jesus Christ, being for Christ. And those will be our 2 points this morning as we look at this passage, against Christ, and then secondly, for Christ. And so first, against Christ. The context of our passage this morning is the last hour. Verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And John is warning, as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. And then he adds to it, and many Antichrists have come. So who is John talking about when he writes about that Antichrist coming and the many Antichrists who have already come? Within Scripture in general, the title Antichrist is mentioned 5 times. And 3 of those times happen in our passage. 1 John chapter 4 covers the next one, and then 2 John verse 7 covers the 5th one. So John here, these 2 letters of John cover all the times that Antichrist is mentioned. And when you look at verse 22, it helps us explain who this Antichrist is. The one who denies that Jesus is the Christ is the Antichrist. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. So there you see that denial, that being against Christ is described as being anti-Christ. Now, keep in mind, as we've been looking at John's letter, his overarching purpose in writing this letter to believers is for their encouragement. Here he's reminding us to abide, to remain in that saving work of Jesus Christ. And he does so by pointing to those who are against Christ, those who have left the communion of believers, who have left the church, who deny Jesus Christ, who divide the community of the saints. And what John gives us here by way of that encouragement, well, more of a warning, is those who are anti-Christ or those who are against Christ. And the way that you see that they are against Christ is by their departing and by their denying. And so first, they're departing. Those who are against Christ show their true colors by departing. What does John say? They went out from us, verse 19, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be complained that they all are not of us. Now, in our English translations here, that's a very wordy way of saying they showed their true colors. They were never part of us in the first place. They were never true believers in the first place. And John could have used much, much stronger language here to describe those who have left, those who have caused a schism, those who have caused divisions or rifts in the community. But he's not talking to them. He's talking to those who still remain. They went out from us. They're gone. They were never part of us in the first place. In this letter, John has continually been tracing out what it means for us to be in fellowship with God, to to know the Father, to have that saving relationship with God. There is that central saving fact of Christ's coming, but also our response to that fact in faith. Having that saving knowledge of God, being forgiven, being in relationship with God. And the warning for us here is that the Antichrist is not simply some supernatural being that will come during the apocalypse. It's not a, oh, well, good, glad I don't have to worry about that in my lifetime. Something that people in the future will have to worry about. Because the warning that John is giving us right now, as those who profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is that Antichrist is coming and many are already here. Many who are against Christ. We are living in the end times right now. It is the last hour, John tells us. If you turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. There he mentions the Antichrist again. He says, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Be aware of the fact that the Antichrist is in the world already. That many Antichrists have already come. Many who are against Christ. And you might be wondering, well, how do we recognize them? How do we recognize someone against Christ? Well, John has just given us one indicator. It's someone who divides, schism, separation, people who have left the community, a division has taken place. And the second indicator is their denial that Jesus is the Christ. They deny the truth. Verse 22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? They're denying the faith. And because they're denying Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, they're also denying the Father. Now, it's a serious thing, and even discouraging to think about someone who professed Christ, someone who said that they were a believer, turning away from the Lord. It's a serious thing to be talking about someone who said that they believe in Jesus Christ at one point in their life, someone who was baptized, someone who even made a profession of faith, but then they show their true colors by their life that they don't have a genuine faith or a true faith at all. This is called apostasy. Turning away from the faith. Not a true faith, it was just a faith with their words. John describes it as they went out from us, but they were not part of us or not of us. And we got to remember that this is coming in 1 John, who's encouraging believers with that assurance of their salvation. You know God. You are forgiven. Here he's saying, you have been anointed by the Holy One. Scripture teaches us that once saved, always saved. That's the assurance that John has been talking about throughout this letter. But it's also true that at the same time there are hypocrites. Not everyone who says they believe in Jesus is a true believer. Think of Judas, for example. One of the disciples walked with Christ, but turned away from Jesus, apostasy. And think about what that looked like. His departure, his denying Christ, took place in a much more subtle way. When we think of apostasy, giving up the faith, we often think of the extreme situations, facing persecution, someone threatening your life unless you renounce your faith. Here John is talking about false teachers who are actively denying Christ and teaching against the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He's warning us that many antichrists have come. But we also need to realize that this departure, this denying, can also happen subtly and even passively. We don't have to actively betray or teach against Jesus being the Christ or publicly renounce our faith for that apostasy to happen. The danger of departing and denying is much more subtle. more like drifting, simply not paying attention. Last week, John warned us against loving the world or anything in the world. All of a sudden, the things of this world become more attractive to us than Christ. And we don't even realize it. It's as simple as loving the world more than you love the Father. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "If you examine 100 people who have lost their faith in Christianity, I wonder how many of them would have been reasoned out of it by honest argument. Do not most people simply drift away? Most people say they're Christian, but no longer live as Christians or as true believers. Did they actively decide to leave the church or to leave the faith, or did they just drift? Stop attending worship. Start looking to the world as their example. Loving the world, stop looking to God's word as its reference point. Not making Christ a priority. Let other things become more important. Christ said that if you are not for me, you are against me. So if you're no longer living your life for Christ, if you've drifted away, then you've departed. You've denied. And that means that you're against Christ. There's no neutral territory in the middle, no demilitarized zone. It's either for or against. There's no such thing as a lukewarm, nominal Christian in the middle. You're either against Christ or, secondly, you are for Christ. And that's the word of encouragement that John comes at us with, giving us that encouragement right after that warning of the Antichrist and those who have divided and denied the church and Jesus Christ, comes this word of encouragement of those who are for Christ. We have those who are anointed and those who abide. And there you have those two marks of those who are for Christ. Here we have someone who acknowledges Jesus as Christ. Someone who professes Jesus as the Christ. Some in this community that John is writing his letter to, some have left the church, left the community of believers. And John is addressing those who remain. And he's reminding them and encouraging them of their anointing by the Holy One. Verse 20, but he's transitioning there. Verse 20, but you have been, this is the way it is, this is the reality, this is the indicative, this is who you are, you have been anointed by the Holy One. Now the Greek word for anointed here is Christos. Christ. Christos. Christian. Christ is the anointed one. Christians are those who have been anointed by the Holy One, by the Holy Spirit. John is taking us, transitioning us from those who are anti-Christos, anti-Christ, to those who have been anointed and bear the name of Christ, Christian. So what does this mean? Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 32. But why are you called a Christian? Why are you called an anointed one? Because by faith, I am a member of Christ, and so I share in his anointing. And the footnote to that question and answer is our passage, chapter 2, verse 27. What does it mean for you to share in Christ's anointing? To have been anointed by the Holy One. I am anointed to confess his name, to profess Jesus Christ, to present my life to him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for eternity. You have been anointed. And in this context, this anointing has to do with what you know. The result of this anointing is that all Christians have this knowledge of the gospel truths, of what Christ has accomplished for them. You have this knowledge throughout 1 John. We're only in the middle of chapter 2 here, and there's again and again and again, you know God. They don't know God. They think they do, but they're actually stumbling in the darkness. You know God. And with that knowledge of God comes that saving relationship with God. You know the truth. That truth abides in you. It's remaining in you. And because of that anointing, because the gospel truth is in you, because of the indicative, this is who you are anointed, John then hits us with a command. Remember, John doesn't give us very many commands, so when he does, it's a big deal. And what is he telling us to do here? In light of the anointing that you have in Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit, because you are anointed in Christ, because you are a Christian, because you profess Christ, remain in Him. Abide in Him. Persevere in this gospel truth. There are antichrists out there who will attack, who deny Jesus is the Christ, who deny the Father. But your command, your marching order is to remain in Him. That's John's encouragement. It's not enough to merely say that you've heard and assented to the message in the past. Well, I professed my faith once upon it. No! Here we have a message that is to be present and active in our lives as we persevere and remain and abide in the Lord. And that's exactly, God in His providence had this passage for us this morning. That's exactly what we're celebrating with profession of faith in the Lord's Supper. What do I mean? It's important for us to celebrate when people enter into the kingdom. And that's what we're celebrating this morning with Darian's profession of faith, him claiming hold of these promises that we're looking at in this passage. But as important as that beginning is, it's just the beginning. As important as that initial step into the kingdom is, it's also important for us to celebrate those who remain under Christ's lordship for life. Those who are persevering and strive, who are running this race. The anointing, the abiding in Christ. That's what we're celebrating with the Lord's Supper. Sustaining us as we remain in Him. Listen to what the form says, the communion form. Our Lord also promises that as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we are fed with His crucified body and shed blood. To do this, He gives us His life-giving Spirit. You have been anointed by the Holy One, John says. Through whom the body and blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment of our souls. Abide in Him. John's encouragement for us this morning as believers, even command, is that in light of that reality that is ours in Christ, that anointing, the truth in us, abide in the Lord. And we should abide in the Lord until we go home to be with the Lord, or He comes down to be with us in that final judgment and salvation. The time is at hand. We live in the last hour. People of God, what would you do differently today if you knew that Jesus was coming back today? Would you change your plans? Would you think differently if you knew that today was the day? Would you say something? Would you call someone that you've been meaning to call and have that conversation with? What would you say? Because the point that John is making is that is how you should be living right now. That's John's encouragement for us as the anointed ones, as the Christians who are living and abiding in the Lord. In light of the anointing that is yours by the power of the Holy Spirit, remain, abide, persevere in Him. Yesterday, my dad called and he was telling me about a conversation he had with a friend that he had grown up with. They were catching up at a wedding. And this friend had shared how His parents had died, had gone home to be with the Lord, and his sister had also passed away recently. And he made the comment, you just never know when your time will come. And that coming week, 3 days after that conversation, that man was killed in a trucking accident. Abide in him. Let the truth of the gospel, the good news of salvation that you have heard from the beginning, remain and abide in you. That's the promise, that those who have the Son, those who know the Son, have the Father in a saving way, have this promise of eternal life. You too will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. That's the promise he mentioned to Mary and Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And then he asked Martha, do you believe this? And he's asking each one of us this morning, do you believe this? Do you live like you believe this? In the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ, does God's truth abide in you, remain in you? Are you striving to live in light of that anointing that is yours by the Holy Spirit to remain and abide in him? And what did she answer? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And there we have a confession, a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And with that comes this promise of eternal life. Comes with the comfort and the assurance of the anointing that is ours by the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And it also comes with this call to abide in him. People of God, in a world full of antichrists, those who are against Christ, denying Christ, our only hope, our eternal comfort is found in the anointing that we have by the Holy One. The truth, the gospel truth that remains in us, enabling us to abide and remain in him. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord, thanking and praising you for the promise of eternal life that is ours in Christ. And as we hear this warning this morning, Lord, we pray that not only will you continue to fill us with your word, nourish and sustain us with your gospel, but also enable us to remain and abide in you, to persevere until the end, to finish this race. Lord, equip us for what lies ahead. Sustain us with your word and sacrament. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.